This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We hope you're having a great day. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at ManCaveStore.com. How about them Cowboys? Because those are the guys that are up next for us on Sunday. And Mike, while we've won 4 of 5, they have lost 4 in a row. Mike and I are going to be up at Flowery Branch tomorrow bringing you the latest and having a chance to talk to Raheem Morris. And I know where you're going to go, my friend. I know you are going to poke the bear tomorrow and say, what about this pass rush, aren't you?
Yeah, and I know that every week we're told how much we're getting closer and we're getting closer. You know, and we're getting incrementally closer. Look, I mean, I've talked to a couple listeners today, but one of our guys, Eddie, who follows us, says, yeah, it's the bend don't break. It drives you crazy as a fan. I just think in the playoffs, you can't get away with it. I just don't think you can get away with it. You know, Baker Mayfield's a high-risk, high-reward guy, and he played into our hands and gave us some picks. But you've got to be able to get a quarterback on the ground. Guys, this one, we're good. We got a bend, don't break. Okay, whatever you want to call it. We got a ball-hawking secondary. We got an offense that can hang with anybody. But you got to have pass rush in this league, guys. We're the worst. Guys, the stats, they speak for themselves. It's got to be addressed in the next couple of days.
All right, I'm glad you said that because Raheem Morris said, I'm over the win. Now we need to focus on pass rush. Listen to this from our coach. How do we get our pass rush better? How do we do some of those things? That is the question right now of the season for this football team. Now, I'll say this. Can you beat Dallas doing what you did last week against Tampa Bay? Yeah, because Dak will throw it to you. And guys, they don't run the football, and they don't stop the run. So going into this game Sunday, not only are we favored as of right now, we will be when the game starts, but Mike, we do at least one of those parts. We run the football. Our stopping the run part, and Mike and I were having this conversation today about this show. We were both looking back at the Tampa game, and what did you say to me this morning about the Tampa run game?
I said, you know, I don't think we stopped it. I think they stopped them themselves. Bucky Irving, you couldn't stop him.
No.
Bucky Irving was getting everything he wanted, so I don't really think we... Now, maybe schematically we'll talk to Coach Rod that maybe discouraged them from doing some of the run things, but I just think their OC kind of hit the chicken switch on the run game.
I agree, and that's why, again, that's a them problem, but the point is teams see where our deficiencies are. Okay, and by the way, teams are watching us, and they're going, I'm not throwing to Jesse. I don't know if I want to throw at A.J. Terrell.
Right.
But I think we can run the ball on these guys, and I think if we stay to it, we can have some success. The bottom line for us is this is another big spot for us. And you know why I feel really good heading into this weekend? Our quarterback. Listen to Raheem Morris talk about what he envisioned when they went out and got Kirk Cousins.
His cleanest game as a quarterback as an Atlanta Falcon. You know, and I know it's hard to say when he threw for 500 yards 1 week, but you know how I feel about stats. But yesterday, as far as being clean, as far as throwing the ball exactly where it needs to go, being able to exhaust his progressions, feeling really comfortable, being decisive, doing all the different things that Kurt does well. He actually ran the ball yesterday. I was really pleased with our quarterback play yesterday, and you can see the confidence in our offense when he's playing that way and the style of play that we want to play. And it's been the vision. You know, we were lucky enough to go out there and sign him.
4,000 yards, here we come. Kirk Cousins has 2,106 right now. Halfway point. 4,000 yards, here we come. Now, the irony is Geno leads the league in passing, and we talked about that. But, again, he's only a few yards in front, maybe 97 or so yards, 90 yards in front of Kirk Cousins, and then Baker Mayfield. But those are your top three passing leaders as far as yards.
Right.
Kirk Cousins, guys, is going to throw for 4,000 yards. Mike. And we said this, 35 touchdowns, 4,000 yards.
Right now he's at 14, so 14-7. And certainly there were some picks that, you know, there's two or three I can think of that weren't on him. Then there's a couple that were on him. But you're right. He is going to project out to his football card. And that's why we signed him. And again, the covers, we've talked about it. Dan Quinn, you know, what do you want to call him? The master of the cover three? You know, we have cover, you know, I feel like Bill Raftery. Falcons and cover two with cover three tendencies, you know. And it just drives you crazy as a fan because I know the catchphrase is prevent, but it's cover three. And it just, if you don't get pressure with the down lineman, it's good that we do have Jesse Bates. You know, Simmons was out with the hammy, but we do have A.J. Terrell really coming into his best season as a Falcon. But you're putting these guys out there for too long. And especially if you got quarterbacks with the balls coming out. You know, we saw that week. We've got quarterbacks that are on our schedule and potential quarterback matchups in the playoffs. Like Jalen Hurts, I think, and the Eagles are playing a lot better than they were when we played them on Monday night.
That's
just as an example.
I totally agree. And by the way, Allison, she is a loyal follower, a big-time Falcon fan. She says, Ben, don't break. That makes it exciting. Wait a minute. I don't want to be exciting. I want to be.
Are we talking about the same thing?
I think so. I want to be able to get off the field, Allison. She says this way you never give up because they will let them drive to the 20 and then Jesse or AJ or Caden gets a turnover. Listen, turnovers have been our friend. There's no doubt. But we have not put ourselves yet in jeopardy by not being able to get to the quarterback, especially in our wins. I mean, guys, let's be honest. We didn't get after Patrick Mahomes, and we almost beat those guys.
Right.
But the Chiefs were not playing at a maximum level. Maybe the next time, if we get a chance to see him, Super Bowl, maybe that'll be different. I just don't want to wait around and say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then, Mike, we get to week 15, and here we are last in sacks. Now, speaking of last, real quick, Cowboys averaging 74 yards a game. They are dead last in the league in rushing. I just point that out to tell you guys, that's an issue for them. And, Mike, we can make this a one-dimensional game, and you guys saw what the 49ers did in the second half of that game against the Cowboys this last week. Dak with pressure to make plays, Mike. Again, you're going to say, and I hear you, we got to get pressure. But I love the fact that I think going into this game, they're not even going to attempt it. Guys, they can't run the football right now. And so going into this game, they already know, hey, Dak's got to throw the football. Well, guess where he's throwing it, Mike? CeeDee Lamb.
Right, and you've got to be able to handle that. But the thing with Dak is if you let him get up and get 14 points on the board, he's pretty good. When he has to come from behind, that's when he just completely goes, meh.
And that's why we got to get up in this one.
As Tom Brady called Josh Allen, spastic-like at the time. just kind of like spaz. That's where he starts to just lose it and starts to force it. You know, we have the lowest total in sacks, but we actually are pretty good when it comes to yardage. Passing yardage, we're in the middle of the pack in the entire NFL. Where we do struggle, though, and this is where it's interesting, we are, right with the Vikings as far as how many touchdowns we've given away. They've given up 14. We've given up 13. So I know sometimes the stats don't tell you the whole story, and that's why I think when we talk to Coach Rod tomorrow, he's going to tell us they are getting better, but I still think you've got to sniff around to try to pump some life into the edge rush and get somebody opposite Judon. Or is just Judon never going to be that guy this year?
Trade deadline's coming up November 5th. Yes, we know. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes. And follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station and stay up on everything that's going on. Plenty of Falcons conversation on the way. A couple of news notes today from the National Football League. One of them is he's been benched. And we're talking about the Colts benching Anthony Richardson. They turned to Joe Flacco. In my opinion, even with the injuries, they should have never gone away from Flacco. But Flacco's going to step in there, Mike. He had a nice rhythm. He makes the right throws.
Right.
Richardson is 10 of 32 for 175 yards in Sunday's 23-20 loss to the Houston Texans. Plain and simple, he was terrible. He was sacked 5 times.
Right.
He was hit 8 times. But, Mike, he's not making the plays, and he looks nowhere near a Jaden Daniels at this point, or anybody for that matter. Williams, he doesn't look close to these other guys.
Well, he was always the most raw guy. I mean, we talk about, when quarterbacks come out, how much experience do they have? He had a season under his belt with Florida. You know, you go back and you say, does he have the polish and the pocket experience? But this is one that just confounded everybody, and this is one that, I mean, it's universal. Like, I know he's a young man, and guys make mistakes. But again, unless you can go prove that you can be an NFL quarterback, this will define you.
It will.
You tapped out. Nobody taps out. It is the most pressure-packed position in all of professional sports. No one debates that. But the last thing you do is that. You can't do that. Sends the wrong message to everybody from the team to knuckleheads like us talking about it on the radio.
Mike, I'm tired. Somebody come in here and take my place.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Nobody does that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, if you're 85 and you're a Walmart greeter, hey, I'm tired. Can you? Yes.
Different.
Not when you're a 22-year-old quarterback in the NFL.
And this dude's a physical specimen, by the way.
Right.
I mean, get in shape. Get in shape. And you're tapping out on your team when they're in desperate need. And again, it wasn't for series, but the idea that, Coach, I need a breather. You need a breather.
I mean, okay, have you maybe considered basketball? because you can take all sorts of games off, and they, you know, you can hockey. They have line shifts, lots of sports where you don't have to be on the field all the time. But that blew my mind. We had so many things to talk about. The Falcons yesterday, it's our first chance, and then we find out that he's being benched.
All these damn TV timeouts too. I mean, come on. If you guys never been to an NFL game, there's a lot of waiting.
Right.
All right? I mean, you don't see it on TV because you're consumed by these commercials. There's a lot of waiting. Come on, man. I don't get this either.
And,
I just don't.
And if you're outdoors, they actually put shade up for the linemen. You can sit down under like a shady area, too.
Hey, Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs is also out. We just found this out. Torn ACL. Feel bad for the brother, man, because, Mike, he was trying to get his another bag. He was trying to go to the Texans, get all this stuff behind him with the Bills. This happened in a non-contact play against the Colts, ironically, on Sunday. 496 yards. That was second in yards on the Texans squad and 47 catches this season. Done. Stephon Diggs for the year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's right. It's contract year. That's what I said. He was trying to secure the next bag.
He was betting on himself. That was a whole deal. And, you know, the Bills and the Texans kind of said, yeah, even the Texans, like, we're not sure we want you, but we'll take you on a year like rental.
Yeah. And, well, he ain't coming back.
Oof.
I mean, here's the deal. They can move on, and yep. There's no consequence. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. Trae Young, what the hell was that last night? 2 for 15? It's Dukes and Bell. The Wizards are terrible. That's how I'm going to put it. And the Hawks blew a big lead last night. But here's the deal. Trey's been playing great, by the way. Okay? I mean, like, averaging 34. He's been playing great. Last night, against this miserable team, Mike, 2 for 15 shooting, 2 for 10 from beyond the arc. He hit his free throws, which he's known to do. But Trey didn't have a star night in a game in which you should have won.
Yeah, Trey just couldn't hit anything last night. I mean, literally, all he did get to the stripe 9 times, made 8 of his free throws, but still just brutal juice. 6 turnovers, too. I was telling Carl, especially that fourth quarter, sometimes, you know, you got to trust your other guys. You can't keep walking into double teams, you know? You got to develop some trust. Jalen Johnson was fantastic last night. He had 29 points. Reese Ache, look, he's still learning on the job, and you're going with him because DeAndre Hunter's, you know, it's DeAndre Hunter.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Again, as I said yesterday, Carl, if you're expecting DeAndre to play all 82 games, well, wait a minute there. Capella.
I didn't work on anything.
Capella had a nice flush. We always tell Capella to flush it. He had a nice flush in the paint.
Finish.
16, kind of like what you expect. I mean, another cut you heard from, Larry Nance Jr. with 15, including a big couple of three-point shots. But, yeah, it was ugly. And then the perimeter defense was, you might want to get somebody on Poole. Jordan Poole, if you didn't see it last night, that was driving me crazy. And there was a couple of like switches where the guys are just missing it completely. And I don't know. Does coach yell?
Yes, he does.
I mean, I know you can't hear sometimes on TV.
He does.
But Poole, 6 of 8. 6 of 8 for 3.
He doesn't look like a yeller.
Yeah. I mean, Kuzma 5 of 9 for 3. The perimeter defense, I mean, you got to rotate. I mean, it's just like every wide open threes. And so then you started trading twos for threes, and you blow a 13-point lead.
Frustrating.
You can't lose games like this if you're going to win 40 games.
Terrible. This is a bad team. I mean, they don't guard anybody. I mean, I could go on and on about the Wizards.
Yeah. I mean, it's just if you expect this team to be anything other than the play-in game, you can't lose games like this.
We didn't play defense.
Thank you.
Nate, you're not even the coach anymore.
Thank you. He can speak on this, Mike. He knows. 121-119 was the final, and we turn right back around and play these guys tomorrow.
All right.
At their place.
All right.
This should have been a sweep. Too simple. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Too early for my blood pressure to be up like this.
No, it's funny because I really couldn't get into the Yankees Dodgers. I just don't care. I mean, I'm just the Braves are out. This is the first time in my life, and I'm not even watching the World Series. And I flipped over the Braves, and I'm like, it's like this is like reminds you of every game in the last 3 years, basically with the Hawks.
No, that's a great point, Mike. I mean, you want to buy in, you want to believe in what's going on, and it is early, right? But early, like Trey came out balling, and you're like, okay, he's off to a great start. Right. I think he's like third in the league in scoring and all that. Well, up until last night. Either way, let me mention this about the World Series, and then we'll get to some headlines. Big O, behind the glass, he's doing all the things today. Our engineer and our executive producer, Turtle, has the night show tonight, so make sure you stay tuned when we get done. Freddie Freeman, this is what we missed.
Mm-hmm.
And don't misunderstand me here. What I'm saying is, Braves fans, once Acuña got hurt, right, and I'm talking about this year, just this year, I get it. Olsen came back down to earth. But, Mike, what we missed with Freddie, and this is throughout his career here, big hit situations, big moments, he comes through. You could count on Freddie. And now with the Dodgers, and he's banged up. And to Mike's point, many of you are probably not even watching because it's not the Braves. But let me tell you something. Freddie Freeman's about to be the MVP of the World Series. He is unbelievable right now. But, Mike, it's these moments that you missed. It would have been worth the money to pay Freddie whatever the hell we were going to pay him. I know we moved on and we're past it, but watching this play out, I'm going, that's what we missed, man.
Look, Matt Olson is look, he puts up some great numbers, and last year when the team was on a record pace, he outperformed his baseball card, but he's just not clutch. Olson just isn't clutch. Freddie is clutch. Now, the only time that Freddie as a Dodger didn't come up was not this year, but last year. He had a bad series against the Diamondbacks. But every other playoff he's been in L.A., it's what you're missing. So two out of three postseasons, he's been the man. And now, he's the new Mr. October. He's got five home runs. It's five games of the home run. George Springer did it for the Astros. Of course, Reggie did it. I know Lou Gehrig did it.
Yep.
But that was four. But Freddie's got five games now with home runs back to back to back to back to back. And the Dodgers now are on the verge. The funny thing last night, and I didn't see it until I watched the highlights on MLB Network this morning, was Giancarlo Stanton trying to score on a single from second base. And there's all these memes. He gets thrown out. Beautiful throw, by the way. They execute it. But Stanton gets thrown out at the plate. And my favorite meme amongst the many that are out there is one where they have scientists trying to recreate how the Easter Island people would have moved those giant heads on Easter Island. And so how they basically wobble it from side to side with ropes. That's my personal fave. But you can just Google Giancarlo Stanton memes right now and see what you get.
Yeah. New York, by the way, is miserable. They're like, this is over. It is over. The hope has died. They're down to this team, this Dodger team. And again, they're not even 100%, and they're beating the snot out of these guys. It's over.
Jeter, throughout the first pitch, you'd think that might bring you some mojo. But, I mean, like Ice Cube getting the crowd going versus Fat Joe, advantage Los Angeles.
I agree. Cube killed it. I'm with you on that.
Now, if you want to bring Jenny from the Bronx, you know, that might be star for star. But Fat Joe just, you know, it's like the signal, greater than the Ice Cube.
I would agree. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Last night, the Steelers handled business. Russ is 2-0 as the starter, but it was a special teams punt return that put him on top.
Left-footed punt by New York. Backpedaling and looking into the lines of the 27-yard line. Austin's got it. Runs from the near side of the field to the far. Breaking the tackle, 30. Far sideline, 40. Far sideline, 50. Flag is down. He's on the 40. Got a block, 30. Far sideline, 20. 10. Chase to the 5. Touchdown on a punt return for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, Mike, real quick. Steelers special teams is great. Our special teams, right? We gave him a game ball yesterday. The fake punt.
Daryl Hodge snuffed that one out.
Oh, right? It was great. These are the plays, man. Like, you go through a season, block field goal, block punt, special teams touchdown, you deny a fake punt. Those are the plays that come back and you go, that's the difference between one or two or maybe even three wins in a season.
Right. You got to have it. And we've had some bad special teams. We've had some good ones. Keith Armstrong, then we kind of been some tweeners and some guys that were better helicopter pilots in the Army than special teams coaches. But Danny Smith is the typical, lovable, old school special teams coach of the Steelers. You know, he's got the short haircut, gray guy. He's losing his mind on the sideline. They did a great job. The other thing last night, and this is one that drives me crazy. If you're a Braves fan watching Freddie Freeman, a Falcon fan, whenever you watch T.J. Watt, T.J. Watt was all over the place. Anytime the Giants look like they got some momentum, you cannot chip him. You can't leave him one-on-one. As they brought it up on the broadcast last night, he's going to make a play. So T.J. Watt with a strip sack, fumble recovery, and that kind of helped to seal the deal.
Did you say strip sack?
Fumble.
Get on it.
Yeah. All the things which you don't really get a lot of here with our edge rushers. Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me hear Mike Tomlin talk about T.J. Watt. This dude does this every week.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated. I just come to expect it because he's got unique talent. He's got a unique approach. And so usually that produces unique results with a really consistent tone to it and usually at the most timely moments. And so, you know, I think the new Steelers are shaking their heads. I think the guys that have been here kind of expect it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like Mike. Every time I see him lined up like in the 12 position, okay, where he's way outside of the tackle, and you're like, he's going to make it from there to the quarterback, and I'll be damned. He does, and you're trying to block this guy one-on-one. We know this. Falcon fans, we saw it week one. There's not a tackle in this league that can block him one-on-one.
He is the game changer, and that's the thing. The only guys that would really be that guy for your Falcons, they're just not available. I mean, I don't think the Browns are moving on Myles Garrett. The Raiders already said they're not moving off of Max Crosby. So the best you can do is kind of like when you're at the carnival. No, you get one from the second level.
I don't want that.
I want the goldfish. You get a pencil. But anyway, so that would be like Ojulari, who, by the way, came up big at times for the Giants last night.
No, he absolutely did. It's Dukes and Bell. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live well. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, guys. More on the Falcons coming up as he talked about how special Bijan and Algier are.
Like, I think he's special. You know, I compared him to, like, Christian McCaffrey, right, of people I'm going against. So, like, every time he does something, I'm like, wow. Mode with Bijan, you know, at least Kirk, I got a sample size of it and being with them and knowing what it can look like. But with Bijan, it's different. Same thing with Tyler. You know, Tyler's giving me wild moments. Bijan's giving me wild moments. Our ability to run the football in certain games give me wild moments. And yesterday, having the ability to run it for, I think, 120 or something in totality for the team, where it could have been even bigger with a couple less penalty calls. Man, I mean, I'm really impressed with what we've been able to do with those guys. And it goes back to the front, too, you know, talking about the line and just all the things they've been able to do.
Yeah, I want to pound the Cowboys up front.
I mean, this is a team that, I mean, you heard it. Jerry Jones on the radio, you're going to be out there on the show tomorrow in Dallas. They don't pass the eye test. The defense has been a real struggle. Dan Quinn really had things cooking. Now, some of this is Micah Parsons had missed a big chunk of the season, but the Zimmer thing hasn't really worked. They don't have a running back. They needed to go get Saquon Barkley. There's a number of guys. Derrick Henry would have fit the bill for them. You got to take pressure off Dak. You mentioned, but here's the thing, though. If you don't get pressure on Dak, like any good quarterback, you get him in a rhythm, that's when he has trouble. I mean, that's when you'll have trouble. When he's coming from behind, that's when he just falls into interceptions and bad decisions.
I totally agree. Hey, let's hear from Kirby Smart, because we got a lot of dog conversation on the way the rest of the week, guys. It's Georgia, Florida, the cocktail party. We know how big this game is, and it doesn't matter what Florida's record is. I'm not caught up in that. And just listen to Kirby. Like, he's not going to get caught sleeping.
You know, I think they're playing their best football. I think they have a really, really good roster. A lot of players we've recruited and recruited against them. But they're playing their best football, and obviously a talented group. Really a lot of great size across the front on the offensive and defensive lines.
And then there's some people that we recruited, and then we stole them, like Trevor Etienne. And hopefully, as I said, just run the ball, man. Just keep Carson Beck. Just look in the mirror. Gosh darn it, you're good enough. Don't be stupid. Make good decisions with the football.
I hope so, man. We'll get more into the dog report and Kirby answering questions about what's wrong with Carson Beck's play at 4 o'clock. Jump around! Jump around! Jump around! Hey, Mike, we're talking about sacks. And here's
where... Let's talk about sacks, baby.
We can do that. We can do that. Here's where I'm at with sacks and our Falcons, all right? It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. When we talk about these sacks, and everybody has this number in their head, right? And it's like, oh, we got to get to this number, we got to get to that number. And I personally do not care what the number is, and I'm going to explain this to you. What I do care is when the sacks happen. It's not the number. It is when they take place. Now, I'm going to go through this really quickly because, Mike, everybody's like, oh, we got to get this number or that number. And I don't think anybody disagrees. Mike's been on this for the last 3 weeks or whatever.
I mean, it's an abstract. It's just when I'm dead last in the NFL, that's a problem.
It's a problem. I don't disagree. Right. So we go back, all right, in the annals of the NFL, and I'm going to give you the five, okay? And I'm going to give you the results because what this tells us is it's not the amount. And so I don't want you to get caught up in that. Giants in 1985, you grew up a Giants fan.
Yep.
68 sacks. Guys, they lost to the Chicago Bears in a legendary game, 21-0 in the NFC divisional round. And it's a legendary game because of the fog and all the stuff right. that was going on. The Giants that year, though, led the league in sacks. They had a hell of a defense. They were great. They don't win the Super Bowl. The Bears in 1987 lead the league in sacks, 70. They were 11-4. They lost to the Redskins, now the Commanders, in the NFC divisional game. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they led the league in sacks. Mike, we just saw the Eagles in 2022 have 70 sacks. Everybody was talking about it. They didn't beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Two more teams. 1989, the Minnesota Vikings had 71 sacks. In 1989, They lose in the divisional round to the San Francisco 49ers. They didn't win it. Then you get to the one team, Mike, that did. The 1985 Bears won it, but they had 72 sacks in 84. It wasn't in 85 that they had the 72 sacks. It was in 84. You know what happened in 84? The Bears lost the NFC Championship game to the 49ers.
Right.
So they had 72 and didn't win. The next year they come back, we know what happened. Turn it up. Super Bowl shuffle. This was so dope, by the way.
I didn't come here to start no trouble. I just came here to do a Super Bowl shuffle.
Everybody knew this song, didn't right. we? Everybody knew this song. Refrigerator, everybody knows.
Well, I mean, if you go look at it right now, okay, the Giants lead the league in sacks, but they got a dysfunctional offense.
Correct.
You know, the Denver Broncos, I think, are getting there with Bo Nix. They got 30 sacks, and I think they're feeling better about their offense. Texans have 27. Obviously, you all know what C.J. Stroud did. Ravens have 24. Just made a trade, by the way, for Deontay Johnson from the Carolina Panthers to beef up their wide receiver corps. So then you got the Vikings, 24 sacks with a nice offense with Sam Darnold. The Jets have 23 sacks. We don't have to say any more about them.
They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, and this is where we are right now in 2024. So none of those teams you say, well, big whoop. Falcons with 6. Teams that don't have a lot of sacks that you feel are going to get there. Yeah, but the Chiefs, they got 15. That's more than twice what we have.
That's unfair.
And they also know when to throw the switch.
I don't want to look at the Chiefs.
I think you look at the Eagles, you look at the teams, like Detroit's got 20. They just lost Aiden Hutchins. I'm still waiting to see how they're going to replace him before the trade deadline.
It's true, and I think they will make a deal. Here's the point we're getting to. Do they matter? Yes. Do we want them? Yes. Do we need them? Yes. But the top five teams that have ever led this league, none of them want it. None of them. So it's when they come. Mike, if you're in this NFC Championship game or a divisional round and you get a strip sack or you get a sack when it matters on a big third down, Mike, and we get off the field and there's 2 minutes to play, we win the game. It's when that sack happened. And here's what we're talking about. We're not getting timely sacks either.
No, we're not getting guys. Baker Mayfield dropped back 50 times, okay? You know, the fact that he was able to come back and have a Hail Mary, I know we had a safety and we did make things a little bit easier for him, but he was able to pat the baby and then find Cade Otton, find the running backs out of the backfield. You've got to generate heat. So I'm with Carl. We're not looking for, I must have 50 sacks. But I'll give you a number. More numbers. Look at the numbers. The year we beat the Rams and should have beat the Eagles, we held those guys, if you remember that game, Carl, to 29 points combined.
17.
Went out to the L.A. Coliseum, shut down that offense, and then, again, you know what happened, Julio, the last play. Falcons had 39 sacks that year. That was ninth best in the NFL. It's a good defense. Arguably the last great defense the Falcons had because 18, the injuries tore it apart. Remember Keanu Neal, Debo, everything else kind of fell for us.
Are you 100?
17 would have been the last time we had a defense where you said, okay, that's a defense that can handle business.
I agree. That's what I asked him, by the way, and he got upset.
Carl ran him out of town.
It's not true.
But you didn't create the injury.
No, I didn't. You know what? You're putting that on me. That's a false narrative. That is not true.
We're working from home during COVID, and my connection drops out, and I'm literally listening now for a second, and the phone comes back, but I'm not live on the radio. And here, Carl, so what's up with your game, man? Seems like you lost a step.
He did. I mean, I just had to ask him.
And he's like, well, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't.
That week before, he had gotten juked out of his shoes.
Yes.
And then, I guess, you know, I don't know. By the way, where is him? Where is Neil now?
He is a free agent.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I'm not going to clown. I mean, listen.
He was always nice to us until you ran him out of town.
Come on. That's fake news. I did not run him out of town.
I mean, the way it sounded to me was people say you washed, lost a step.
Oh, I heard the interview live. Yeah, I remember exactly where I was, sitting outside of a pool in Tucker, Georgia. Like, oh,
you know what's funny?
Carl went ham on Keanu.
You know what's funny about that? People were literally coming at me. Man, I don't understand why you're starting an interview like that. I can't understand why you would even ask that question. It was so funny how so many people all of a sudden became journalists. Majors, Mike, were telling me how I should do interviews. Nevertheless, that's where that stems from.
But just to give you an example, okay, 16, the year we brought in four, you had Devondre Campbell, who, by the way, wouldn't he look good in a Falcon uniform? You can thank the Julio cap situation, the Matt being the only way to move the money.
I blame Julio.
But it just, Devondre Campbell was a great player you drafted in the fourth round who's actually had success in a number of teams.
He was an all-pro.
He's a good dude. I mean, but that's the guy we could use right about now. But the year we go to the Super Bowl with Debo and Keanu Neal, who was the guy that used to blitz all the time? Was it Poole? Who's a kid from Florida Gators?
Off the edge.
Off the edge, undrafted free agent. We, the year we go to the Super Bowl with the greatest offense the Falcons ever had, we had 34 sacks. Certainly respectable. The league lead that year. was the Arizona Cardinals with 48, who didn't go to the Super Bowl.
They didn't do it.
Nor the Carolina Panthers, nor the Broncos. So, and the team that obviously beat us and we gacked it against them was New England. They had the same number of sacks. So it's a combination in concert of the offense being either really a lights-out offense and a good enough defense. The year the Saints won the Super Bowl.
They weren't great.
That was not a great sack defense, but it was a turnover-happy offense. It was really ball-hawking. You agree with me on that?
I do. I do. And this is why we're discussing this, because I think everybody just thinks there's a magic number, and then if we get to that number, it's going to happen for us. That's not how this happens. And that's why we're laying this out for you. 404-726-0929. Timely sacks matter. Mike Smith. Timely sacks. Right. You can find us, Mike Bell, ATL, put him up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way, as Mike mentioned. Trades going on. They continue to happen around the league. And apparently, if there are no setbacks, Christian McCaffrey is on track to at least practice this week. Remember, they're in the bye, so that means he could be back after the bye. We'll get into that and much more. Want to read this, because this is... This is misguided, if you ask me. And this is from one of our listeners, Criminal. That's his Twitter handle.
Like Smooth Criminal?
Well, Criminal Element is what it is. And he says, Dukes and Bell, he says, y'all starting with this Freddie Freeman stuff. It was his choice to leave. Nobody's debating that. What we're debating is we miss his clutchness. His ability to come up big in these spots. And you're seeing it again in a World Series in a different uniform. Guys, clutch travels. Pete Rose didn't leave the Reds and go to the Phillies and still didn't remain clutch.
No.
Either you have it or you don't. And that's what I'm telling you we miss as a Braves fan.
And look, I'm not going to say the Criminal Element's a nitwit, but you got to listen to what we're saying. We're not discussing Freddie's loyalty to the organization. We're talking about just pure and simple. He's clutch. Matt Olson is a good player, and Matt Olson had a great year last year, and he is streaky good and streaky bad. And Freddie Freeman is just clutch. That's it. Now, look. We, at the time, killed Freddie for being a man-child and not having any idea what his agent's negotiations with the Braves were sounding like. And at the end, you could cry me a river and then come back and cry when you're with the Dodgers.
And he did.
And then who was it? I think it was Kershaw. I was like, all right, enough already. But you know, it's just, you know, that's how the negotiation played out. But no one debates how clutch the dude is. He's just clutch.
Yeah. That's all we're saying. Like, this whole notion, we're not trying to rehash anything. We know how it went down. Trust us. We were on the air the day it went down, and all of a sudden, the Braves have signed Matt Olson. And I said, Freddie's done. We were here. But that doesn't take away from what kind of player he is. And we need more of those players if we're going to ever win another World Series. I think we have a really good team.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, Mike, there are too many guys that didn't do what we expected them to do this year. You can make all the excuses. You're going to blame that on Acuna and Strider? Give me a break.
And the Dodgers had to go with so many bullpen starts in the playoffs. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we always talk about not having enough pitching and how we didn't have enough pitching this year or that year. But we all know what happened with the Phillies. I mean, I think momentum got its own, and we got punked by them. But the year before, we couldn't hit. We also couldn't pitch. Remember, that's the year we didn't have pitching. Well, the Dodgers this year have been going through everybody and their uncle as a starter, and look what they're doing. They got clutch. Granted, they got Shohei. I get that. But Freddie is part of that clutch factor the Dodgers have. And the Yankees are totally shook. This thing could be over. I think it is.
I do. And part of it is, by the way, while we're talking about one side of this, and we just talked about what we're doing with the World Series and why we're watching the Hawks, and World Series is kind of secondary in the background, despite the teams, because our guys are not in it. The other guy, Mike, on the other team is not clutch right now, and that's Aaron Judge. He is not hitting to save his life, and they need him desperately. And he said, I think after game two, because I talked about it last weekend, he was talking about how he's pressing and all this stuff, and New York fans were going crazy. He's not doing what Freddie's doing right now. Now, Freddie's getting help. I mean, you look at the lineup. Those guys are raking. But that's what the Yankees need. It's got to happen if they're going to get back into this, and I don't think they will.
Harold Reynolds had a good breakdown this morning on MLB Network talking about the Dodgers are making all the clutch moves. The Dodgers are playing sound baseball, and the Yankees aren't. The Dodgers are doing everything. They're moving the runners over. They can do small ball. They can create runs. And the Yankees just can't do that. And the Yankees, from base running and just poor everything, Carl, just not playing the fundamentals that the Dodgers are.
Yeah, no doubt. What is the first 12-team playoff rankings going to look like? We're going to talk about that coming up, because the committee is on the verge of getting together. This should be interesting, because this is going to give us a foundation moving forward with, you know, the next 5 or 6 weeks of the season before we get to the championship games, to see how this is going to look. We'll talk about that. But when we come back, NFL Blitz is on the way at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.